time for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Good to have you with us, everybody. Happy Monday, September 17th, 2018. Again, we say all of that because we are live, but most of you listen to us on a downloaded basis, and sometimes you listen to it multiple times. But we're broadcasting today live from Baltimore and actually in Monster Leads offices, which also shares offices with Sales Boomerang. If you're not familiar with these two companies, check them out on the web. Two great companies. Monster Leads does an awesome job on their lead generation, and of course Social Survey, which came out of Monster Leads, is a monitoring service that allows you to come back and alert you when a customer is a borrower who may have gotten turned down for some reason, like a credit score was too high. It monitors that credit score or whatever 5-6 factors that it may have kept someone from getting a loan. They then come back and tell you, hey, these guys' credit's good enough now, or their property value is good enough, or job is income is improved, or whatever the various statistics are, and they alert you that. Do you know that over 73% of leads that are acquired are not touched or are dropped early on? It's crazy. Anyway, check out salesboomerang.com. Great service, and we're thrilled to be here. I'm on their board of advisors, and we are in here for a board meeting. So that's where we're live from Baltimore. Again, this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals and an increasing number of real estate professionals. Probably one of the largest segments, growing segments of our industry. Maybe it's because realtors are getting in the mortgage business or mortgage companies are getting into the real estate business. Both ways, I guess. We'll talk about that in just a minute. And we are grateful to have you as our listeners. Our commitment to you is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. This last week, I was with our special guest, Lori Brewer of LBA Ware. She and I were at two conferences here together. We were first at the Social Survey Conference, beautiful San Ramon, and then last week we were at the Housing Wire's Engage Marketing event. While we were there, the Housing Wire folks brought in a whole bunch of us podcasters. Anyone who's podcasting in the space brought us in. So we got to sit down at dinner and talk with all our fellow podcasters. And Phil Treadwell is one that has one dedicated to the LO community. And I'm so excited. We're working on getting him scheduled and in our podcast here as soon as we can. Looking forward to that. Lots of people want to come on the podcast. It's a testimony to how many people are listening. We're grateful to have you as our listener. And you telling others about it. Hey, heads up, November 15th, our friends at MERS is putting on another e-mortgage boot camp. The benefits are exchanging information, learning what's going on, developing best practices and legal perspective, as well as what's going on overall, what's happening with the whole e-mortgages initiative. So check it out. Go to MERS, and it's on our website. Check it out. There's a link there. You'll be able to see it. Again, I've already said we've got Lori Brewer, founder and CEO of LBA, where on our guest we're going to be talking about the world of LO compensation and how lenders can adjust their compensation strategy to thrive, especially in times of a challenging market. Lord knows it's been challenging. Let's get over to our sponsor. Say a special thank you to the MBA. Got the annual conference coming up. Love that. Just made my hotel reservation. Literally got one right across the street. So cool. Walking short, and I half walk to the convention center. And I went through Airbnb, and you will not believe the deal I got. So check out Airbnb. If you're trying to get housing there for affordable rate, check it out. Anyway, also a special thank you. And, oh, I'll be at broadcasting live from the Empower event on Saturday. Alice, you're the one that told me about this event. I was getting off the plane as I was flying into the conference last year and said, Dave, you missed it. This is amazing. We got to do a podcast from there. And we are, Alice. So hopefully you'll be able to join me. And we're going to be actually recording interviews of the top female leaders in the mortgage industry and some of the guys that are doing a great job of promoting the Empower initiative within the MBA. So saw Marsha the other day in San Ramon, Marsha Davies, and excited to be doing that podcast. Also, I want to say a special thank you to Arch MI, the creator of the Innovative Rate Start program, partnership we've had with Jim Jump, and the whole team there forever. Also, Black Knight, a leading provider of integrated software and data analytics solutions. Awesome company. Go back and listen to some of the podcasts with them. Sufi Safavi of Heavy Water, which is just acquired by Black Knight. Check out what they're doing. Very exciting. Also, Open Mortgage, the leading buyer of reverse mortgage and home loans, and is the home of some of the top LOs in the country. They've got a suite of videos that they do that is so good. Check it out at openmortgage.com. Openmortgage.com. Also, Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative, two co-ops that do an outstanding job of bringing mortgage industry participants, connecting both vendors and lenders in a meaningful way. So great way for you to get up close and personal with some of the leaders in our industry. Then also, Belma. It's an efficient mortgage marketing email platform we use for our podcast. Love these guys. Brent Emler and the team there do a great job. Encourage you to check them out at Belma.com. Knowledge Coup, providing easy and fun training for mortgage lenders, as well as Predictive, which is a pay-per-click marketing strategy campaign that really helps with leads. And it's very affordable, very targeted. Of course, and then finally, I always want to say a special thank you to Alice, Andy, Alan, and Joe for their contribution to this podcast. All the podcasters we got together with at the Housing Wire Engage Conference said over and over, man, you are the granddaddy. It means I'm an old guy. I am. And so you've been doing it for so long. You inspired us to do a podcast. And so it's really good that we're being out there, and we were honored there with so many of these comments. So anyway, appreciate our partnership with all of them. Let's run over to the MBA Mortgage Minute with Rob Van Rapphorst with an update of what's going on to the MBA. Rob.
Hi, I'm Rob Van Rapphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. With all the recent hurricane activity, MBA has updated our Disaster Recovery Resource Center for homeowners. The center includes resources that outline how to prepare for a disaster and the steps to take in the recovery process. Last week, the House Financial Services Committee held a markup on a series of 13 bills that included two MBA-supported bills. They were H.R. 5534, the Guide Compliance Act, which would require the BCFP to issue regular written guidance and better protect consumers, and H.R. 6737, the Protect Affordable Mortgages for Veterans Act, which protects veterans from unsavory lending practices. And finally, mortgage apps dropped 1.8% and refinances dropped to an 18-year low in our mortgage application survey. And the average contract interest rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage increased to 4.84% from 4.80%. That's all for this week on MBA's Mortgage Minute.
Yeah. Appreciate that. Appreciate the partnership with the MBA. And be sure to register for this year's conference. And while you're registering, get on and get signed up for Mortgage Action Alliance if you have not already done so. You do not need to be a member of the MBA to have your voice heard. That's one of the great things David Stevens did while he was there, setting that up for all people to participate in having their voice heard. You know, sometimes I play this ad about the digital business card, and I want to just talk briefly about it. It is such a powerful tool that can help lenders really connect with their audience in a much more meaningful way. And there's a number of digital business cards are out there, but this is one that actually helps you generate income, not just income from the business you're going to get, but literally by sharing this app. It's an amazing tool. And what I want you to do is go to our website, Lincoln on Lending, click on the digital business card, virtual business card. I have to go take a look at the website. I forgot what it was. And check it out. And I encourage you to get it. I'm using that now exclusively. People say, where's your business card? And I said, where's your phone? They take a picture of a QR code or I email it to them, and it's got all the videos of our past clients that we've worked with that really helps tell your story. You know, it's all about telling your story. So what tools are you using to tell your story? Check out the digital or virtual business card at our website, lickinonlending.com. And when you do, we've got one of the people that lives here in Baltimore, actually, Mark Sanfilippo, who's on our team, will help you get it all set up and work with you and advise you on getting your message out. Quick update, we're going to be speaking at the October 2nd Denver Marriott. I'll be speaking there. It is the Colorado Mortgage Expo. Very excited. A lot of people are emailing me, looking forward to hearing me speak again there. Looking forward to it. Then also October 23rd in Oakland, California, I'll be there doing the Mortgage Expo for the Northern California part of it. Very, very cool. Very glad to be a part of it. Let's get out to Les Parker, get the macro update on what is happening with the markets from a macro standpoint.
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by Loan Logic. When bonds grow up to pay high yields, will it dig the same yields that turned it on like high jobs? Historically, bonds sour when jobs rise, but these are not normal times. Bonds are struggling to adapt to the new world of active inertia driven by low wages, low growth, and persistent high debt. So here they are, stuck in the bewilderment of adolescence. Bonds broke down into a bear market, but how long will it last? The 10-year notes held its bull trend. How long will it last? Maybe the notes can drag the bonds out of the bear grip. When bonds grow up and understand. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
I love that song. Love the Beach Boys. One of my favorite groups. So good job on that. Want to check it out? Go check out the website, tmspotlight.com, to subscribe to Les's newsletter. It's free. And there's also two paid versions you can get. And he does a great job of breaking down the macro market, so go check it out. Let's head over to Scott Gordon. He's got an update for us. Again, Scott Morgan, President CEO of Open Mortgage with the Science of Sales. Scott.
Are you likable? If you're like me, you're thinking, yes, of course I am. And if I'm not, what does it matter as long as I do a good job? Failing to understand the importance of likability is a mistake many professionals make. Studies show that being likable is far more important than competence, both in the office and outside of it. We like people that are similar to us. We like people that compliment us. And we like people that cooperate with us. When creating new relationships, engage in meaningful small talk and mine for personal information. Ask potential customers about their families in ways that relate to their purchase or mortgage needs. When meeting a realtor, do a quick Google search. Plan some questions you can ask casually. Find one or two specific traits or details to compliment. But remember, compliments must be TSP, true, specific, and positive. To get customers or realtors to open up for small talk, appear to be similar to them. Try mirroring. If you hear a phrase or see a mannerism, try adopting it during the course of your conversation. This will help build rapport and allow for a relaxed conversation. Sound too good to be true? It's not. It's just the science of sales.
I like those. Those are good jobs. Way to go. I really do enjoy the science of sales segments put on by our friend Scott Gordon. It's really important to kind of understand what's happening with sales. More science that goes into it. If you want to check out some videos that are out there that will help you learn more about Open Mortgage and the science of sales, go check it out at openmortgage.com. Joe Farr, we'd normally be running to Joe Farr right now in person, but Joe's on vacation. Joe sent in a recording, so let's listen to that, an update of what happened on the markets last week and what we got ahead this week.
Hey, Dave. Joe? Joe, I'm talking to you on Friday afternoon. I'm going to be out of town Monday and won't be able to be on the show live with you, but did want to give you an update as to the market for, you know, the week ended Friday the 14th, and then give you a little look at what's going on for the week beginning the 17th. So last week, Dave, rates continued their move higher. They rose during the week by about 5 basis points, and the increase was a little surprising. You know, last week we talked about the drop in prices last week not really reflecting the good economic data. Well, this week the drop in prices reflected more of a drop than what the data would have suggested. And by that, what I mean is the data was really not very good. And, you know, the important activity data, the retail sales, that fell short of expectations. The inflation numbers were very bond-friendly. Both CPI and PPI, both core and headline numbers for both those measures, all fell short of expectations. You know, that ordinarily results in an improvement in mortgage rates, an increase in MBS prices, and this week it didn't. So it was a little surprising. The ECB meeting came out this week, and there were no surprises from that, no real effect on the market. There was some good data that came out. The JOLTS report was better than what was expected. The consumer sentiment that came out late in the week was better than what was expected, although there was no sort of immediate reaction to those economic events. there were a number of Fed speakers, as we talked about, that were making presentations during the week, and none of those really had any surprises to, or caused any market movement. President Trump did refer to the $200 billion worth of additional tariffs on China late in the week, in fact, on Friday, and caused a little drop in the stock market and a short-lived improvement in MBS prices, but within an hour they were back to where they were before the comments. So again, that's something that you just never know when it'll come out and how much it might affect the market. Now, looking at the calendar for the week beginning the 17th, the Fed's in a quiet period ahead of their September 25th, 26th meeting, so there are no Fed speakers. The data that's on the calendar is pretty much just housing data. The National Association of Home Builders will release their housing market index on Tuesday. Commerce Department will release the housing, the August housing starts numbers on Wednesday, and then the existing home sales are going to come out on Thursday. So a lot of housing data will be of interest to our industry, unless they're really big misses, unlikely to have a big effect on mortgage rates. So that's my report, Dave. Sorry I can't be there live, but I hope this is helpful. Thanks so much.
Hi, Joe. I hope you have a wonderful vacation. Appreciate you sending us that update. Listeners, if you're looking for an easy, fun way to training your staff, you got to check out KnowledgeCoop.com.
At the Knowledge Coop, we work hard to create training that engages and encourages our audience. Once people are engaged in training, they are more likely to stay focused and retain the information that they need to know. So here's your training tip for the week. Next time you have an important policy or bit of knowledge you need to train, do it in short clips and make sure you sprinkle it in with a little bit of humor. Video training is highly impactful, but only when done in the way we've been conditioned through TV. Videos should be no more than 5 minutes, should get to the point, and humor should be sprinkled through to emphasize the important points. Memories are more powerful when attached to an emotion. If you need help with your company's training, please reach out to us at KnowledgeCoop.com, and we'd be happy to assist. And that's your training minute from the Knowledge Coop, which strives for easy and fun training for the mortgage industry powered by a smart digital platform.
Good system. Check it out, KnowledgeCoop.com. Alf Alvey, always so good to have you dialed in and give us an update. Washington, D.C. is happening again. They're back in session. And they're anything on the mortgage front?
Well, I think on the mortgage front is you heard on the MBA Mortgage Minute that they mentioned that the Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection, and actually the Board of Governors, Federal Reserve, FDIC, OCC, all got together and decided that they would stop trying to regulate through supervisory guidance, which is basically
yes.
different publications that they might put in print that will then interpret a regulation. And in the past, CFPB was then those supervisory guidelines were actually used in audits, and you know, companies would get written up for something that wasn't actually in the law but was predictive or boundary type opinion that was published in the various highlight documents that the CFPB was publishing. So I think people are encouraged by this. As an industry, it helps. It's really just a two-pager. It's not anything lengthy. It just says that they'll limit the number of bright lines that they try and put in guidelines. Now, as lenders, you know, and as a former compliance officer, I like, give me a definition, right? I want a definition of a particular rule so that I know how to actually write a policy and know when I've crept into the gray area or if I've crossed the line. But sometimes those bright lines are too restrictive, or, you know, they don't take into account exceptions that we often have in mortgage banking. So I think this is good news as an industry that they're going to back off from that so that you can take things case by case. Now, so that was, I think the MBA did mention that in their mortgage minute. And so we also have that the federal, I'm sorry, the CFPB, I'm sorry, wrong agency again.
Easy enough to do. It's an alphabet soup. What can you do?
Things open on my desk here, you know, so I've got too much open. So anyway, FHFA, Federal Housing Finance Agency, did publish just actually today. The publication date is 9/17. See, this has been in the news for a little bit, the Uniform Mortgage-Backed Security, and the idea that it will be one security between Fannie and Freddie on their fixed rate programs, on their 1-to-4 family fixed rate programs. So this has been in the works for a couple of years, actually. There have been a couple white papers. There was a proposed rule back a few years ago. This is actually the industry's last opportunity to comment on what is the impact now by this, you know, uniform backed security. So essentially changing the basics of the secondary market, TBA as we know it today, and making one uniform mortgage-backed security. And how does that look in the structure? For those of you who actually trade these, you know the nuances every single day in making the trades. For those of you who are on the front lines with the actual applications, you might just know underwriting differences. Well, I don't think this is focused so much on, you know, Freddie does this with student loan debt and Fannie does that. It's more focused on the actual functions of the trades themselves. So just a heads up as an industry, we've got to get our comments in by November 16th to say, is there anything, you know, that hasn't already been discussed and what are the nuances that need to be in place in order to make this work? For those of you who are just going, oh my gosh, that's coming up because now it's less than a year, right? Sometimes when Fannie and Freddie publish these announcements of changes way out in the future, we have a tendency to forget. So their implementation date is still June 3rd of 2019. That's not a lot of time to really get through all the agreements, all the nuances, check with your system providers, you know, really make sure you've got an understanding of the full impact. So this is the last chance to respond before the FEFA publishes actual policies and procedures that everyone will be required to follow. So Fannie and Freddie both have a lot of information on their websites that they've been accumulating as this has been building, and now is the time to really, you know, buckle down and pay attention to getting your thoughts in. So they have just very, very open, very broad. You can comment on any aspect of it. So that's closed rule. It's no longer just an RFI. So I'm sure the Mortgage Bankers Association will get a publication out for us that we can mirror. I look forward to some more information from the MBA now that they've got this to digest, and we'll take it from there. So that's the big news out there, I think, Dave, is this is the first step to the final step of getting a uniform mortgage-backed security. So I will pass it back to you and look forward to our guests.
Good job, Alice. Appreciate the update. So much going to be. I'm going to be in Fannie Mae's office Thursday with meeting with their entire executive team. Really looking forward to that. Got some exciting things we're working with them on. Fun, fun, fun. So give you an update after being in that place. Then the Freddie Mac the following week. So lots of stuff going on in the markets. And there's some exciting new products that might be coming out we'll be hearing about. I'll just tease you with that little piece of information. So you heard it here first, but we've got some exciting things we're working on with our friends at Fannie and Freddie. Normally, we'd be running over to Alan Pollack, and I was hoping for Alan to dial in, and he said he was. He's going to give us an update on the markets, but I think the time zone bit him here, so he is not. So I'm going to give a rundown of the email that he sent over on what is in the marketplace out there. So Alan and Lori are at the Source Media Conference that's going on in Las Vegas. The Digital Mortgage Conference, if you haven't heard about it, I guess it's really well attended. We'll get a report from Lori on that in just a minute. But there's a number of announcements that came out of the conference. One of them was CoreLogic has launched a new digital mortgage underwriting solution for lenders called Automatic IQ Borrower. And it evaluates how much debt a borrower has can take on by looking at the customer's data and income verifications, using their service for doing that. Also, a couple other highlights, Ellie Mae True Digital Mortgage reduces application closure time. I'm sure they were out there talking about ServiceLink, talked about demoed their new EXOS system. Guild Mortgage talked about how they've launched their hybrid closing option, which allows customers to review and sign loan documents remotely. I mean, they're using DocuSign, so that in itself isn't any major real news other than companies are embracing it and really using it. DocuTech also today announced that Movement Mortgage, Primary Lending, and Stearns Lending, New Penn Financial have selected their product called Solex, S-O-L-E-X. It's an e-closing solution that facilitates more streamlined and expedited mortgage experience. I mean, if you're not in the e-mortgage space, I'm sure that's what's the bulk of what's being talked about out there. Would love to have gotten a report from Alan, but I think he got his time zones messed up, and we're missing getting that direct report from him. But we'll get an update from Lori right after the quick break. It's from Jim Jump. Going to get over there. Jim Jump, what you got for us today? Thank you for being a sponsor, Jim, and the friendship we have.
Hi, David. ArchMI is happy to be a proud sponsor of the program. Today, I'd like to let your listeners know about RateStar from Arch Mortgage Insurance. RateStar makes it easy to choose what type of mortgage insurance coverage your loan needs. Quotes are delivered in seconds and represent our most competitive ArchMI rates based on the strength and quality of the loan application. That's the power of RateStar. Getting a mortgage insurance quote has never been so powerful or so simple. And with that, I'll turn it back to you, David.
Appreciate it very much, Jim, and the partnership. Check out Arch Mortgage Insurance. Check them out. Get a hold of your Arch representative. Great group of people and very pleased with the relationship. And while we're doing that, they're located in Greensboro, North Carolina. Our thoughts and prayers go out to everyone in that region that has been impacted by Florence. You know, it wasn't as much of a rain event. It looks like it's a flooding event that's really challenging so many people out there in that market. Well, let's get over to the Profit Doctor. So good to have you here, Andy Schell. Appreciate you being here. You and Alice and Joe have been here since the very, very beginning. We're getting a lot of attention as a result of pioneering. And you know what that means, Andy, when you're a pioneer. You know what that means. You're
well,
old
absolutely.
And you got a lot of arrows in your back.
That's good.
Fortunately, we don't have any arrows. I think we've got a lot of praise. A lot of people are really singing our praises. It came out at the conference. Both, you know, the founders of this podcast was my idea, and I talked you into it, and I talked Alice into it, and then Joe into it, and they go, is anyone going to listen to us? And they go, well, we've got a whole bunch of people, and it's really fun to hear. So we're adding some new segments, Andy. I'm really looking forward to one of which is going to be working with Jacob Jaffney, who is the chief editor there. We've got a new segment coming up that we're going to get launched here in a couple of weeks. It's going to be so much fun. So much to talk about, but our special guest today is right down the middle of your fairway, working on costs. The Profit Doctor, what do you have for us and how we can more effectively manage our bottom line?
Well, thanks, Dave. A couple of quick comments, but I'll keep it fairly short. You know, my family actually settled in Texas in the 1860s. So that was right after, a generation after Texas became a state. So they, but it was not settled well. So they actually may have had, I was going to say arrows in the back, or you never know what's going to happen. But
they were true pioneers at that time.
It's risky to be first, but you never want to be last. You want to measure risk when you're first. So a couple of quick things. Two points about education that I'm going to bring up about a monster that's affecting the industry that we need to talk about. I thought I killed it last year, I and a group of CPAs, but we didn't. So that's a bummer. So first off, next Monday, I'm going to be at the Loan Vision Conference in Nashville teaching about hedging. And because I'll be at that conference next Monday, I'm not going to be here live.
We may be able
to run this segment again.
Got to record a segment. Yeah.
So coming up on October the 3rd, we are launching again our accounting segment where we are going to be working through the MBA to present 5 webinars with accounting content and hedging content and advanced accounting and how to account for hedge, how does hedging work, everything you need to know from the beginning to the end about managing your numbers, understanding KPIs and understanding operational efficiency and a whole bunch of other topics. You know, I drip in a lot of my PhD topics as we go through the webinar. So it's not just pure accounting. It's got strategy. It's got a bunch of other stuff in there. So that starts October the 3rd. You can sign up through mba.education, mba.org.goodeducation. You'll find it. So here's the topic, Dave, for today. The issue that's I thought was under control, but I understand from a couple of conversations this past week that it's reared its ugly head. And this is actually something that Joe and I can dialogue about next time we're on the show together as well. But you'll be a great surrogate for him today, though, Dave. So you may remember I've talked about in the past the locked pipeline and how the accounting profession decided that we need to count the profit in the locked pipeline. the locked pipelines called the interest rate lock commitments, and the unrealized gain is considered an off-balance sheet financing commitment subject to market risk. So blah, blah, blah. It means you gotta, you're supposed to account for it when you do financials. So what that means is that you create this fake profit. Because the interest rate lock commitment is just a bunch of applications. They're not loans. You can't call up your broker
and
sell your interest rate lock commitments. They're not a loan yet. They have to be transformed into a loan before they can have any value. But nevertheless, there's a wide range of how accountants and CPAs and CFOs deal with this. I believe that the derivative actually should be accounted for more as net realizable value or maybe slightly above that. And I'll talk about what that means. So if you think about an application, it has to be processed, underwritten, closed, funded, and sold. And until it does that, the value that's associated with it has to be offset by all these costs that have to be incurred, including commission, in order for the application to become a loan, to be sold, to convert to cash. So here's what's happening. Here's an example. This is somewhat modified to protect the innocent, but I've heard about this from warehouse lenders that it's happening more regularly than we would like. So let's just assume we got $100 million pipelines and we've got a 2% gain on sale. So we're putting this $2 million expected future gain on our balance sheet based on the locked pipeline. So the owner says, wow, that's great. We've got $2 million in this receivable. That's great because I've got this margin pressure we're dealing with. I've got all these competitors cutting their rates, so I can use that $2 million receivable to make it so that I can fund a lower margin and be more competitive. So that's what they do. And the owner's going, okay, you told me about that $2 million receivable we've got. Where is it? I need that money. I've been cutting my prices, so now I need the cash. And the CFO goes, oh, don't worry, blah, 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 gap, this and that. It's a timing difference. And the owner believes them. And so time goes on, and now the owner goes, where's the money? And the reality is it's
show
not
me the money.
Dollars. It's not there. It's $500,000 because those loans converted into cash and had $500,000. So now the owner is short $1.5 million because of this accounting trick, because the CFO overstated capital because they wanted to stay in business, but distorted the reality. So the owner made a bad decision, cut rates when they could have been cutting costs, doing all kinds of other things. So the end of the story was the owner had to sell. $1.5 million short. How'd you like to wake up one morning and be $1.5 million short because your CFO fussed with the numbers? This IRLC gain was never worth the gain on sale because you always have to convert it into a loan. So CFOs, CPAs owe a duty of transparency and clarity to the owners of mortgage companies so they understand the smoke and mirrors, interest rate lock commitment, unrealized gain is fake profit that we just need to ignore. Let's focus on cash. And that's why when we do books, we do internal management reports that show the results without the interest rate lock commitment, and then we create the interest rate lock commitment financial statements to go to the warehouse line lenders because they have to have GAAP statements, and they get the statements, and they take the interest rate lock commitment right back out again because they don't want to see it either. Crazy, crazy stuff. I thought with the new tax law that this was going to be abated because it's a taxable gain, so people don't want it to be big, but the company just had to sell because of this, so it's back. We got to be careful. Be aware of this.
Some questions that are coming in from our listeners right now. One of them, I think this is a warehouse letter. Andy, how pervasive is this problem? Is it isolated, or is this a bigger problem than we want to think?
Well, I thought it was minimized because of the taxability of the derivative asset offsetting gain would be a natural deterrent against having a large derivative asset. But I just heard yesterday from a good friend who's a warehouse lender that they've had several clients bite the dust because of this exact issue. So I don't know the answer yet, but it scares me that it's out there, and that's why I'm bringing it up today.
That's why people need to listen to our podcast and listen to your segment. If you want to go listen to Andy's segment or Alice's segment, just kind of listen to all and go, like, I wonder what else I missed that Andy said. You can go to our website, Lickin' on Lending, and you can click in there and just download everything that any one of us have said all the way through each one of the segments. Encourage you to go back and listen to Andy. Thank you very much, Andy, for being here with us, and looking forward to having you participate in this upcoming topic. Yes. Was there someone else chiming in on that?
If people have questions about this,
yes.
Andy@mbs-team.com.
Sorry about that.
Very simple, very easy.
Folks, we'll be right back after this brief word from Black Knight with our special guest, Loie Brewer. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
As housing prices climb, U.S. homeowners are holding more capital equity than ever before. Effectively capturing the equity market could pose a unique challenge for lenders who may be limited by the capabilities of their current loan origination system or consumer lending platform. Lenders looking to streamline their home equity business processes can benefit from Black Knight's LoanSphere Empower loan origination system. Using this robust and intelligent technology, Empower can originate both first mortgages and home equity loans on the same system. This single configurable solution will help lenders improve margins, support regulatory requirements, and enhance customer satisfaction. To learn more about Empower, visit blackknightinc.com today.
Yes, blackknightinc.com. Check them out. Great group of combination of talent in there. Again, they acquired Motivity Solutions, who's been an advertiser for us. We're in the process of renegotiating that contract. And then also just bought a Heavy Water out of Boston. Go check out those previous podcasts that we have had with Black Knight. Very good interviews. Love it. Love our partnerships with all of our advertisers. And Black Knight is very much there. So without further ado, let's get turn on Loie Brewer's microphone. She is live with us from the digital conference in Las Vegas. Loie, good to have you here.
Hi, David. Glad to be here.
You and I are just together. In fact, we've been together the last 2 weeks in a row, two conferences back-to-back having to do with marketing. It was good to see you at the Social Survey Conference in San Ramon, and then seeing you and Finn, the guy that runs sales for you. That guy, he is such a good guy. And then also last week at the Gage Marketing Conference put on by Housing Wire, and we were sitting there talking, and now we both share a really good PR firm. They're really good. They do a great job, and they put out some talking points that they recommended we talk about. And then you and I were sitting there, and you and I were talking and sharing about the biggest issue I think that's facing our industry right now, one of the crises. Andy outlined one, but is LO compensation. It is obscene, the amount of money that's getting paid to LOs in relation to the bottom line being earned by their companies that they work for. So let's be really clear. We're not against loan officers making good money. We want them to be highly compensated and well taken care of. However, if they're making five times the amount of money or sometimes even more than that than the company is, something's out of whack. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But before we do, I just want to introduce who Loie Brewer is. She is the founder and CEO of LBAware. And it is a software product that they do many things, but they automate the compensation for loan officers. So if you're struggling with that, you say, well, my system, you know, A&B or Loan Vision, or my system takes care of, we have internal systems. Do you know what? I encourage you to check out what LBAware offers. It is, without question, so much more comprehensive than what's out there anywhere else, and it really saves you money and how you can put this together and gives you tracking and a lot of different things. So that's it. We're going to get into that a little bit later, but I had the privilege of interviewing Loie back in January at the NEXT, the next conference up in Dallas, and she's one of the women executives that was featured there. So we're excited to have her back with us again. So Loie, let's get into this. There seems to be a lot of chatter these days regarding LO compensation, a lot of whining and complaining, but not a lot of activity. But what is the impact it's having on profitability? And from your perspective, what are some of the challenges that lenders are having to face in this area?
I think it's a really interesting topic and top of mind with a lot of lenders right now, mainly because labor makes up the largest line item typically on your P&L, and of that, the biggest chunk is sales compensation. You know, up to 50 or 60% of the revenue goes to LO comp. And since, as everybody knows, we're facing like shrinking loan volume and refinances are going down, margins are being compressed, but overhead and your office, those expenses for the most part remain even. So from what I hear and see, you know, everybody's looking for where can we cut costs, but the buckets are not always large enough. You can look at like your marketing budget. Most lenders' marketing budget is less than 10%, maybe around 5%, and that's just not enough to make up for the lost revenue. So they're having to look, you know, at the LO comp bucket because that's the only bucket that's big enough to help them find the savings they need. I was talking about this with several people, and I sort of equate it to, you know, when somebody loses a job at home, you can't just like cut your gym membership or your cable bill. It's just not enough. You have to look, you have to dig deep and make some hard decisions. And that's what is facing a lot of lenders now. And especially with the fact that we need to hold on to our purchase money LOs that do have those relationships. And those are typically the LOs that are commanding the highest compensation packages. And, you know, good for them. I think paying those LOs that have teams and bring in the business that are what you need. Meanwhile, things like consumer direct channels are that have lower comp models, that whole channel kind of is decreasing with the refinance market going out. I mean, literally, to sum it up, it's a $1 million question. How do you compete and recruit your top purchase talent and hold on to the profitable LOs and yet lower compensation, you know, across your company? It's a really tough predicament.
It is, and it's a really a great question and one that many are facing. From your perspective, and you have some of the top leading industry participants, lenders out there using your software, so I think you probably have a unique perspective on how some of these lenders are competing in this market. Tell our listeners about what you're seeing out there.
We do. So we have software where we are automating the business rules and not just LO comp, but also your overrides and your branch managers, regional managers, and your operational folks, and then having sales metrics in there so a lender can get a quick snapshot of how the compensation is incenting or possibly not incenting the behavior that you need. As you spoke about, David, like we've kind of been on the conference circuit. You're always on it, but I've really been on it the last 30 days. And I was one that you were not at that I was at. Was the MBA HR Symposium, and that is a small,
I heard it was a good conference.
Very information-packed. Yes, it's one of my favorites, actually. Marina Walsh runs that. So we did a panel, and on my panel was Scott Frommert, CFO of OnCue, and Tracy Key, Senior VP at Compensation at Prime Lending, both clients of ours. And we kind of talked about that subject of recruiting talent and what they're looking to do. And it was an interesting mix because Prime Lending, you know, they operate as an IMB, but they do have a depository in their back pocket. Whereas OnCue is 100% an IMB. So, you know, just right off the cuff, when there's a cash flow or a seemingly cash flow problem, perhaps facing a lot of IMBs, to have a bank in your back pocket does, you know, at least relieve some of the pressure. And so they talked about that and ensuring that as they recruit, they're being really careful to ensure that the stability of their company is well stressed. Some of the things we talked about on the panel that I thought that your listeners might find interesting is, you know, how to recruit for those top performers, specific factors like if an LO has moved in the last 2 years more than 3 times, you know, little things like that, cut those people right off of your recruit list. So people are picky about who they're wanting to pick up because it's a lot of money that first 6 months they invest in a new LO.
There's a lot of money, and you kind of start looking at the overall cost and really who's there. I mean, we've been so hungry just to get LOs. We need to fill these seats. We need more LOs. And there's just almost this frenetic, you know, recruiting initiative going on. And I think it's causing people to shoot themselves in the foot. So when you're looking at these companies that you're working with, LO comp is at the top of everyone's mind. But the big question is, who will be the first to refigure out how we're going to compensate LOs? And what are you hearing out there?
I'm hearing a lot of that question. Like,
yeah,
everyone's
the question's being asked, but we're not
table.
Is anyone is anyone putting out a solution, though? That's the big question. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, literally looking around the table, you know, who's going to make a big move? I don't see anyone making a big move yet, but I feel like the clock's ticking for some of these folks, and a lot of little changes I've seen made, reducing staff, dropping some of their vendors they don't use a lot, being more cognizant of any concessions, or, you know, and not allowing concessions and having a process around that. And then I see everyone always needs to know your numbers, right? But more attention around the bottom performers that may not be, you know, I always kind of ask, because part of our system manages draw balances, minimum wage, guarantees, things like that. And then there are LOs that may not out earn that minimum wage or that advanced salary with commissions. And it's kind of like, you know, that's an easy place to look. If you have originators that can't even produce enough to out earn that minimum guaranteed salary, that's a place a lot of people are looking quicker to. So when you hire someone, I see lenders putting together more of a process around watching leading indicators. So you hire a new LO, you may not, you know, that LO is not going to really show you what they're made of for at least 3-4 months. But I see lenders now having processes in place, and their guarantee has these steps around, you know, pulling credit, applications, locking loans, how many loans have you sent to underwriting? Because those are the leading indicators in the first few months to show that that LO is actually bringing in the business they said they would be bringing in. And so those are kinds of ways to really clamp down on not allowing a big old guarantee to go out to the out the window, and 6 months later finding out this giant government LO that you thought was going to bring in a lot of business is, you know, half the production and all conventional.
You know, you look at the various things, and you said earlier, it's like when you lose your job. I mean, cutting the cable bill isn't going to help. I mean, you got to take more drastic actions to really go fix the problem. Can you elaborate on the data insights you're able to draw from LBAware's CompenSafe platform? Is that, did I get the name of your product right, CompenSafe?
Right, it's CompenSafe, but instead of a T as in Tom, F as in Frank, so CompenSafe.
I like that, very clever, yeah.
It's our software platform. It's a SaaS product. We have some of the top lenders on it. And so we have the unique perspective in that we really can compare apples to apples with different lender compensation plans, because we're running those algorithms and that data through our platform to create all the transactions for variable compensation. So one of the things we did, we studied about 6,000 LOs across a 3-year period. We essentially did classroom grading. We said, okay, here's your A, your B, your C, D students based on their production, and came up with some pretty, actually, I thought I would know most of the answers coming out of the study, but I was still surprised. One of the things is the top 3% of the LOs on our platform generated 70% of the production. Top 3% doing 70% of the production.
Wow.
And we all know those are very high-end, you know, networked, ingrained, big CRM users that have a team of LOs, junior LOs and LOAs that they work with. But that is, you know, those folks and then the folks just under them, if you study the profitability, those are the guys, that's where your money's coming in, through those people that lenders are, you know, working very hard to keep happy and retain. Meanwhile, you have these folks at the bottom. And what we found, one of the most interesting things is if you have LOs doing 2, 3, 4 units a month, you know, one of the questions I had was, do we see any lenders that are successfully training those guys up to do more production?
Yes.
And the reality was, no. It's like you get what you see. Yeah, and the behavior, and that's probably not surprising to a lot of lenders, but, you know, you hire someone, you're going to get what you see right off the bat, and training them out of that. At least I didn't see anything in the numbers to show that any one lender had the secret to pushing those guys up to higher production. And then the other stat that came out of it is those top A players generally stayed with their company longer. The retention rate was longer than those at the bottom. So like those that you hire that are bringing in a couple loans, probably not out earning their guarantee, they tend to leave within the first 12 months. So
yeah, it's true.
It was interesting.
Andy,
you betcha. Well, hi, Lori.
What's your thought?
I want to say thank you for your service. Lori's a retired Air Force officer, so thank you for
yes,
that.
She
works
with
these great big, huge Herc airplanes that just carry everything you could imagine. So thank you for that, Lori. Lori, I was wondering, as I work with clients around the country, one of the things that we focus on is helping production teams to be efficient. And one of the mistakes I think mortgage lenders make is they think that an originator has capacity management design skills and are able to fully define exactly what the appropriate workflow for a branch should be. Now, you know, I do this for a living, Dave does this for a living. You know, it's a fairly advanced skill set to do this, and yet we assume that an originator can do it well. And it's just a tremendous fallacy that is permeating the industry.
So
we're working to help people really understand capacity management around the LO in its entirety and how we allocate staff to support an LO. So tell me about what you've seen in your system or in your experience that supports helping lenders be better at capacity management so they don't give the new LO, the new LO five processors and three LOAs.
That's a great point. So from our perspective, we have, you know, it's all about data, right? So having the data around how many LOAs, what's the production versus your LOA count, what are the speed to submission to processing, submission to underwriting, what's the overall turn times on those files. We supply that type of insights, you know, graphically, so you can quickly assess what's going on. And then, you know, the lenders then are taking different routes to kind of hit that up. At the HR conference, I'm not, you know, we're not exactly HR, we're more of a data company, but it's interesting to see the challenges around capacity management. I mean, people are expensive and you want to be able to cut and move people around very quickly in order to have the deals flow. I think it's having somebody that can manage that is very key.
Very good. Alice, any questions for Lori?
I do. Well, thanks, Lori. So lots of great insight. One of the things that we find does make a difference as you're trying to get to, as you said, managing the costs associated with all of this is, you know, the company culture. So in your data, do you find differences in the types of companies who have been able to get this to work versus, you know, those that just just can't get a handle on it, and it really is any LO comp is running the company versus, you know, the management is running the company.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. You know, how can you have culture? How can you have inexpensive culture to retain people versus just paying out money? One of the things that Scott at OnQ said is, you know, you can have the best comp plan in the world, but if you can't get loans closed or support your LO, then you know, what's the use in that?
That's right.
And so
yeah,
having the tools in place, the processes in place, and having a great, from our own company perspective, LBA Whereas is 26 people, and we have a fabulous culture, and we do little things like, I know we were probably running out of time, but we do this whole thing around everybody gets a pair of Chucks when they join the company. And then we have Friday Chuck Day and everybody wears their Chucks and they take pictures and
Chuck.
People around town are like, you guys run around as gangs. And this was like something I never had anything to do with. It was organically created. And so I see some of the independents doing some really fun stuff like that and investing in their people in ways that, you know, not necessarily expensive, but make everybody involved in the company feel like they're part of a team. There's something, you know, the whole millennial, we want to have options and we want to be bigger than something, bigger than ourselves. And we want to be able to give back and see our company that is making a difference. And movements, a client of ours also, and I've been there where on Fridays, like they have, you know, they'll bring out food and bands and all of these things going on. And they have these pep rallies. And I think that works super well for a lot of the personalities that work at a mortgage office, but LOs are usually looking at their wallet a lot too. So I think culture helps a lot, but you know, for sales LOs, they're still going to be looking at their wallet. So it's a combination, I guess, have a great company and pay a lot of money. So it's a tough place to be.
Yeah, culture is such a big thing, important thing to create that. And there's some companies like Movement that does a real good job. A lot of others are doing that. I think you do a good job of that, Alice, there at your company. One of the things that I would like to, as we wrap up today, and I wish we could go on and on about this, but you've created you wrote a white paper. If you could talk briefly about that, and then also talk briefly what you're doing with the Mortgage Collaborative Benchmarking Tool. If you could chat real quickly on both of those, tell our listeners about those.
Sure. So the white paper goes into the stats I talked about earlier with your top performers versus your lower performers, and has one of the prettiest graphs I've ever seen called a Sankey chart that my data scientist, you know, came up with. I thought I knew all the different types of graphs and charts out there, but this is a new one. And so hopefully we can kind of put that on your site, David, or you can download it from website. Our company website's lbaware.com. The other interesting thing we embarked on this year was with the Mortgage Collaborative, of which you're a part, David, and we're a part. They had a benchmark site that they wanted to give, and they still do, give to their lenders for free with aggregated monthly data across, you know, not only just comp, but production levels, channel, revenue, expenses, days to close, things like that. And they were struggling with coming up with a better way. We have, along with CompenSafe, we have a second product, LOS Talker. It has hooks into the major LOSs and can easily map data into other third-party applications. So we are leveraging our LOS Talker to grab data out of Ellie Mae and LQB and other LOSs and push it into the TMC benchmark site to alleviate the fact that somebody would have to go type this stuff in every month. And so this way it makes it easy for their lenders to have a notification to just simply go look at the results of the dashboard, and they get a report that shows how they stack against their peers within the network. So you can then slice and dice it by channel or volume size or bank versus IMB. And, you know, it's just a simple way to see where you stack. But the key is that it's against data last month. So it's very real time. And right now with the markets moving like they are, it's key to have access to, you know, what's going on like right now. And so that's a great thing for their lenders.
Good stuff. We've run out of time. Lori, for those that want to learn more about your system, get to know you, what's the best way for people to reach you?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter. So it's at Lori Brewer, or our website is lbaware.com, and would love to hear from people.
You'll get a chance to meet her team. It's a great group of people, and Lori is just a delightful person, a real visionary, and a real solution provider to your company, especially, and you know, there's so many values that you get from having the right relationships with the right vendors, and Lori's one of those people, folks, that will help you construct a compensation plan that makes sense that you can track. And also, she's doing this for so many companies. Call her. Just get in dialogue with her. Encourage it very much. Lori, thanks so much for taking time out of your travels there and the conference there and digital mortgage. And I wish I could be there with you, but could spend the week out here in D.C. Safe travels home, and thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, it was a lot of fun, David. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Folks, next week we're going to have Faith Schwartz here. She's the principal of Housing Finance Strategies. Former roles included the director of alternative markets at Freddie Mac, executive director of Hope Now Alliance, and she was also senior vice president of government affairs at CoreLogic. So glad to have her on the podcast next week. We're starting a series of podcasts that are talking about what's going on with the Empower Movement. So really excited to have Faith on next week. Special thank you goes out to our sponsors, ArchMI, Black Knight, Motivity Solutions, Open Mortgage, the MBA, Predictive, as well as Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, Velma, Knowledge Coop, CardTap, and Vidyard. Thank you all for joining us and being here with us. Have a great rest of your week. I look forward to having you back here next week. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.